Hey everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host tonight, Paul A. Presenza, otherwise known as the Moo Cal. Moo, everybody.
Moo.
And we are joined tonight with several co-hosts, and starting with...
I'm your co-host, Jonathan A. Moody.
That's right. And joining us is a special co-host down below. Say hello.
I'm Angel. Hi.
Welcome back, Angel.
Yes, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Yep, she survived. What was it? Creeping Terror?
No, it was from Hellicane.
From Hellicane.
And you also survived. What did you watch the first time with us? It was Creeping Terror, I think, the first time you watched something with us. So
there you go. two old classic stinkers, and you've still come back for more. I gotta appreciate that.
I don't know. Yeah. After this one, I'm surprised you're even back.
Well, that is a nice segue because tonight's episode is a stinky werewolf movie, we think, from 2006 called Lichen Colony. And I'm telling you, there's not much to liken about this movie. It was crazy.
This colony is not very likened.
Had either of you heard of this movie before?
No, never.
Never. Nope. Right. I should have, but I haven't.
Yeah,
I'm
no, this...
very glad I hadn't.
Well, this is one that had been recommended to me by God knows who. At this point I forget, because so many people are like, oh, you like bad movies, you should try this, and I have this giant list that I sometimes get around to, but this is one I did get around to several years ago, and it was like, wow, okay, I'm gonna file this in my list of movies I gotta show everybody. But that list is also very, very long, as you can imagine. But it was just about time, so we pulled her out of the dust.
His list is so long that he keeps going, oh, it's on my list. And I'll be like, how many fucking movies do you have on your list?
What is not on your list?
Exactly.
It's just my cup of overfloweth at this point.
Yeah. But, you know, and sometimes my list and your list kind of intermingle. So sometimes we end up doing each other's lists, you know.
It happens. But I like to get a movie that neither one of you guys have seen. And I seem to have scored with this one. And as it turns out, I knew Riff Tracks had covered this, although I hadn't seen it. But it turns out Red Letter Media did this, and I didn't know that.
They did that as well. Yeah, so a lot of people I think do this one because it's really terrible, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and that's why it was suggested to me. But in any event, let's go off and hear some of that moon music, and we'll be right back to talk some more about this movie. The chicken says we're ready. Okay. Well, we are back. So, first impressions, Angel, what did you think?
It was very hard for me to finish. I kept getting distracted literally by everything else in the world. If there was a dust bunny on the floor, I would have been like, oh, I'd like watching this dust bunny. When I was watching the movie, I felt like I was in a terrible 90s music video.
It's true. I can see that.
Some of the graphics are that year or less, I think.
Yeah. A lot of this looked like it was made by like Windows Media Player, you know.
You know, you might be right.
So did you find it boring? Was that the problem, or just so bad that you couldn't pay attention?
It was awful. It was awful. I mean the quality was, you know, just really just kind of not the greatest. And then with all the like the visual effects, like the same, it was like a 90s music video. You kind of felt like you were tripping most of the time that you were watching the movie, like, and you had these weird blood sprays that like just dissipated into midair. It was so weird. It was awful and weird.
Yes, my two favorite kinds of characteristics for movies. Mr. Moody, what did you think?
So I ended up watching this over at your house, and so we watched it, and we had some problems, you know, just getting it all set up. But we finally got it all set up, and we watched it, and we're just like, I was just like, okay, like, because I watched the first, I think, 10 minutes or so by myself beforehand, and then this is definitely a movie you got to watch with other people, so yeah. I don't know if you watch this with anybody that else, helps. Angel, but... maybe your boyfriend should have watched it with you, you know, like it would have probably been a little bit more fun. You guys were all probably would have turned it off together, you know. Like,
listen, I will subject him to this torture one day.
Good. Outstanding. Yes, outstanding. That's what we love to hear.
It'll be a punishment.
Oh God, yes. You know what? You didn't take me out tonight. Guess what we're watching? Uh-huh. I keep calling it. Because I think if you can survive it once, you could survive it more than once.
And there's nothing like a bad werewolf movie. Come on.
No. The biggest problem with the movie is that it's just not fun, you know? Like, if it were more fun, you know, I'd get a kick out of it. But it was literally so bad that it was hard to like, because I know that it was the guy's first movie, you know, like first film. And I know he's working on like what sequel or not sequel, but a second movie.
He's working on a second movie.
Dear God. I hope he learned, you know,
please help us all.
Yeah. But he like the problem with the movie is made in what? 2006.
Well, it was released 2006. I think it was made in 2005 or possibly earlier. I wouldn't be surprised if there were sections of this film that was filmed earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you know, Angel, from being a actress in the indie world, that sometimes you don't get everything done right when you started and you have to come back and reshoot.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, yeah, you've got absolutely. All these problems. I didn't see anything like I didn't notice anybody's hair like looking different or anything like that. I think I would get too distracted by the fact that one time in the world he's sleeping and then he's awake and then he's in one world and then he's in another world. I even said, I like turned to Paul and I go, what in the world is going on? He's like, he's in a different reality. And I go, what? Like, is that really what's going on? Because I really believed him.
He fell from one reality to another.
That's the only thing I can imagine, because like at times he fell. I guess we'll go into that when we go into the story, but like it just got so confusing and so it's just so bad.
When you thought Dark Wolf was bad.
No, Dark Wolf is a fucking Academy Award winner compared to this movie. Like I could watch Kane Hodder. Yeah, as a werewolf, way more than I could watch this. You know, these people like that. This is just ridiculous. You know.
Yeah, sometimes it happens. You know, you see a movie that you consider bad, and then you watch another movie where even the very basics of elementary filmmaking are just butchered, either because they don't know what they're doing, they don't have the money, or some other reason. You know, like the sound was not good in this. The lighting was really bad.
Oh my God, the sound. Oh God, it's like they were talking through muffled, like, what?
By the way, on Tubi, Tubi, there is subtitles, by the way. We did not put subtitles on when we watched it, which we should have.
I have subtitles on for everything, which I'm glad I did have subtitles on for this.
Yes, because you needed it.
But I mean, at least from Hell It Came, at least that was like, you know, bad in like a funny way, you know, like it was funny. You could laugh at it. This, you just couldn't laugh at it. You were just like, what? Like, is this really happening?
Right, right. It definitely has the feel of just being thrown together kind of at the last minute or just not well prepared. And there's a reason for that. And that's because it was kind of sort of thrown together haphazardly at the last minute by people who had never done this before. One of the points of evidence for that is the fact that you have a female actress playing a character by the name of Russ, who is supposed to have been a male character, but that actor turned out at the last minute couldn't make it. So they had to get a female person to do it.
I think when I watched it with you and I heard the name Russ come, you know, about the girl, I even said that to you. I was like, it must have been a male that they had for that role, because that role was very manly. Like, you know what I mean? Like they seemed to kind of make it like that. And then all of a sudden it's like, I mean, it was fine. Like the girl did it. I thought of she all did. The things she did it. She did she the did best
a good job.
Job.
And it was a good, I think, a good way to help the movie by having a female actress play that part. The problem is just change the name of the person so it's not confusing. I mean, sure, you could have a female named Russ, but that's going to cause a little bit of confusion without at least something somewhere along the line where you explain why the person's name is Russ as opposed to something more expected.
They said they apparently did that because they didn't want to change the script. And what's funny about that is, like, you don't need to change the script to change a name. You just have the person say the other, you know what I mean? Like, you could keep the script saying Russ and then have everybody else.
They're literally talking about not wanting to cross out Russ and put in a new
that's what name I'm saying. Like, on every that's page. What they were saying. I think that's what they were saying, is like they don't want to change the name because they don't want to reprint out scripts. And I'm like, you don't need to do that. You just change the name. Like, it doesn't matter.
It's funny. Some filmmakers are really weird about their scripts. I have heard stories where some directors, they don't want them marred, they don't want them written on, they don't want notes on there, they don't want them crumpled. Some will even say, I need to have these back, and they number them so that they get them all back, and they have them every single night, and at the end of the production, they have them all. It's a weird sort of thing. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened with Rob Roy, our director.
Rob Roy. But it's got to be a fake name. Come on.
Now, possibly. But I don't think so, but I guess this is a good segue where we can start talking about some of the background for this particular film. That there's not a lot, because this movie just kind of came and sank, and it never really did much of anything. Mm. But yeah, the writer and director is named Rob Roy. He was a guy who did some work in the business before as an editor. So he was an editor in certain things, like he was an editor of a movie called Brothers in Communion. He was in something called a bunch of shorts, and he did a few other things. So he had done some editing in the past, but this, as you mentioned, is his first directorial film. And as a matter of fact, according to the information I saw, he is actually directing a movie called Damaged Disciples this year, 2022. So
nice.
He's at it again.
He's at it again. Oh, no.
He's at it again. Now, here's the other thing. This is a guy who was also the writer, because he wrote and published several books about this story. Okay. So if you were to go on Amazon, you'll see there's a book called Lichen Colony. And then there's the follow-up called Lichen Colony R-O-T-T, Rage of the Thermiomorphs, which they actually mention once or twice in there. I didn't know what the hell they were talking about, but they did mention the thermiomorphs, and it's, you know, a particular kind of werewolf that, you know, the details got buried because we couldn't hear anything because the sound was lousy and, you know, et cetera. We never knew what the hell was going on. But in between all this, this guy has actually written this world with these same characters. The same characters that are in the book are in the movie. Okay. And in both books, from what I understand. So it's not like he was taking something that he didn't, you know, was adapting something he wasn't familiar with. He was extremely familiar with all of these characters and the story and everything. He just, you know, it's not the same thing writing things down as it is putting it on a film. It's an extremely different medium.
Oh, so. My God. By the way, real quick, that Damaged Disciples movie is coming out in July, I think.
Really?
July 10th, 2022. Okay. It's about anal retentive atheist social worker Jimmy stumbles upon a society of angels and demons blending in with humans, bartering to assist in a grand quest. He has no choice but to help end war between good and evil. But which side will he be on?
Oh, you know? So he's abandoned the werewolf thing.
Well, he's doing, not doing werewolves, and now he's doing a angels and demons movie. Oh, boy.
Maybe they're angel werewolves and demon werewolves.
I doubt it. Or angel vampires and demon werewolves. That'd be cool.
I mean, ooh. Where do werewolves go when they die? If you're a good werewolf, do you go to werewolf heaven?
We're giving him more credit.
Become a were-angel. Become a were-angel, you know?
Yeah. Angel, were-angel.
Hey. So for the most part, when you look at the cast is a lot of it is made up of friends and family.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Or people that just never worked in anything else ever again. There are a couple folks who were in some things. Sandy, the obnoxious mother. She really? Was played by somebody by the name of Cadrolshaw Ona Carroll, who is in Toxic Tutu. I've never saw that. A movie called The Hater. The Hater. And then something called The Worcester Zombie Department. But she's mostly been in a lot of, as an extra, in a lot of appearances in other films, and also in a bunch of shorts. And then, interestingly enough, she was also an actress who was utilized in airport TV, in various airports all over the country, doing commercials and advertising, stuff like that. And she's also a TV producer, more of a local TV producer. And she has done a number of shows, including the Paranormals, the Paranormals 13 News, the Paranormals Special Reports, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oh. So I don't think she has as much acting experience as she does production experience, but clearly she wanted to branch out, and this was a role she wanted to do. And then let's see. So then there's the son. Okay. Well, first of all, there's Dr. Dan. Okay. He's kind of sort of the main character there, played by Bill Sykes. He's not been in anything else. And you can tell his delivery throughout the whole production was pretty bad.
Yeah.
He has a real heavy New England accent. I don't know if you could tell, chowder, that kind of a thing. He was funny. So she was playing his wife. And then their son was Stuart, and he is actually one of Rob Roy's sons.
Wow.
So, and then the other son, the littlest son, the little kid in the very beginning of the movie, the quote unquote pup that gets chased down by the lichen hunters, he is also one of Rob Roy's sons. So there was a family production there.
I figured there, I even said something to you. That must be the son, and you said yep that was like that little boy was the son, because like most of the time when you do these indie films, you know, you got to put your own son in there because nobody's gonna trust, you know, some random person with you know, with their kid, you know,
like, and you know, to be honest, I didn't think the son was that bad, you know. He really wasn't. Some of the performances were okay, you know.
Yeah.
One of the things I did want to point out, by the way, is if you were to go on eBay, Rob Roy is actually selling signed copies of the movie and his books. So you can actually get that. So
nice.
Get it autographed. How about that?
I can add it to my stinky movie collection.
There you go. There you go. As you should. The other person who I thought it did a good, pretty good job, and also which Mr. Moody mentioned, was Sarah, played by Libby Collins. That was the girl, the younger girl. She's been in a number of things, including Thunderstruck, Love Weddings, and Other Disasters. And she's appeared on a number of TV shows as a guest player. Like, she was on Louie. She was in something called The Nick.
Oh, cool.
But she was the girl that comes in, bites the guy, then leaves, and you never see her again, right? That's the trick.
Right.
She had a juicy
little part.
She had a fun little part, but like my biggest problem, I think probably what happened, if you're telling me that some of this was done at one point or whatever, I bet she left the project like at one point thinking she was done, and you know what I mean, and then just never came back, you know. So they're like,
it's entirely possible. It's entirely possible. And then Athena, I don't know if you remember her, she was like the werewolf witchy sort of person.
Yeah. Wearing the black, the robes and stuff.
Right,
yeah.
Right. She was played by Christy Lynn, who was originally a stunts woman and also did kickboxing in her career. But she's also appeared in a few other movies. She was in something called Ghost Bridge and then Dead Ringers. So she had some experience doing things, but you know, like the guy who played the hunter slash the grill cook guy, who ends up being a werewolf. That's Carl Berlman. He's not been in anything before. Dave, the guy, the sponsor, Sean Burgoyne, he was not in anything else before. So these are some, there's a lot of folks who were sort of one and done, and that was it.
Yeah, it seems like it.
And last point I wanted to make is this movie was filmed entirely in Moo, Hampshire. And I think this is the only movie we've done so far that can make that claim.
Wow.
So far, you know. That means New Hampshire's got to like step it up, man, and make another. Got to make a better movie than this, please.
So Mitty, I gotta ask you, because if you remember, the first thing I said to you about this film was it was a mashup of werewolves and AA, and I wondered what you had to think about that, because that's not a combination you ever hear.
No. I mean, I'm trying to think like. What was the point of throwing in the AA stuff, you know, because it really doesn't come back at all, you know, like if it were something to say, like he had a drinking problem and like, maybe that was, you know, that went into his, like lycanthropy kind of thing, you know, or something.
The doctor did. Remember Dr. Dan, the reason they were there.
Right.
Was because he had a drinking problem, and apparently he like killed some woman in some operation on her brain.
Like a surgery, yeah.
Right. And that was the impetus to get them there. But on the other hand, there were a number of scenes, and I couldn't tell you how accurate they are, but they didn't seem particularly accurate to me. But there were a number of AA scenes in there, and I'm just not sure what the point of all that was. And I'm going back to reference, because remember, one of the movies that you and I love is American Movie. Mm-hmm. And you know, that movie's kind of sort of about making of Coven, which is about AA, a horror movie about AA. That's the only other movie I can think of where AA and horror is combined like this. So I have to compare the two, and I know you've seen it. So I was just wondering what your thoughts were.
Well, I mean, they didn't do the same thing that Coven did, which is try to make it like where it's like a cult that's coming after them. But this AA had all the people, like they're all werewolves. Like the whole colony was,
as it turns out.
We're all werewolves, and they're all drinking that water that had silver in it or something, which makes no sense for werewolves. Werewolves can't have silver. Like that's the whole like mythos. Like you're just destroying the, you know, I mean, this movie destroys a lot of the werewolf myths. You know, they even try to do that at times. Like tell you, oh, that's the movies, they tell you that stuff, but you know, but really this is what really werewolves are like. And I'm like,
I mean, you can toy with mythos. There's a number of movies, especially vampire movies, where they change things, and they can do it either be very convincingly, or they just do it to suit their tastes. You know,
ankle biters was the thing with vampires, is they kept changing their mythos over and over again.
Yeah,
and it became a problem. And this movie was semi-consistent in that vein, but really, I mean, not consistent with the actual filming, but you know, everything else, you know, like I don't know.
Right.
It was it's horrible. So I don't know. As far as the AA stuff, it was like they didn't really show any of the meeting except for the fact that I guess some people are still drinking, which made no sense. Like I've never I've never seen stuff like that at all in those kind of things. And I don't think that exists. You know, I don't think people just go like that. And very obvious too. They weren't very like sneaky about it. And you know,
the other thing was the Dave character who was super, super pushy. He's just like randomly showing up at this guy's house in the dark and like surprising him. He's like, "You're going to this meeting, aren't you?" You know? And then he drags him off to a bar and it's just weird.
That's also something I don't think happens. I don't think sponsors try to get the other person to go to a bar when they're new to sobriety. You know, like that doesn't make any sense to me.
Right. And he tries to cover it by saying, "Oh, we're just going to have coffee. And it's a way to like control your urges or something." Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I mean, like, look, if this, like, it would make sense if like this is like one of the only restaurants in town or something. And that's how they had it. You know what I mean? They had to go there. But like, obviously, they probably had a coffee shop. Like you know, the only reason they went there and did that is so that the story can continue, and which we'll go into the story.
Right, the script demands it. And specifically, in this part of the story, they got to go to that creepy waiter guy so that they can see the so they can meet the two people who've lost their dad, and they're looking for their dad. And then to find the creepy waiter and the gold watch thing, which was ridiculous.
You want to go into the actual full story so that we can get to that part and everything? Or do you want
to... If someone can volunteer to talk about it, because it's very convoluted and weird.
I will try, and you guys help me out here.
Yeah, I'll try to help fill in the blanks.
I try to help fill in the blanks, because there's going to be some. I haven't watched it since
That's
the
good. Moody, you can cover plot, because I'm definitely going to talk to Angel about special effects and makeup.
Okay, good. Okay, so the beginning... So speaking of special effects and makeup, it starts with one of the worst beginnings I've ever seen in a werewolf movie. So some hunters are out looking for the kid. They're about to go kill that kid, you know, or whatever. And then they hear the howls of the, which I don't think are wolf howls. I mean, they could have found any wolf howl sound effects and they chose not to. They're eaten, they're killed, you know, or whatever. I guess the thing that he had was stolen by one of the watch or whatever it was. Was it a watch or a necklace or something?
Yeah, it was a watch.
Yeah. So watch was stolen by one of the werewolves, you know, or whatever. And so then we get into the town and we meet the doctor. We find the good doctor is with his obnoxious wife who's yelling at him for no reason at all except just to be obnoxious. And she calls her son Stuart and has him come down, and Stuart trips very quickly. I remember him tripping for, you know, or whatever, and making a joke. Yeah, they made a joke on it too, and I was like, okay, whatever. So
in reality, you would have trouble getting through that doorway every day.
So anyway, they end up going in there and they start talking. And I guess this is where exposition is supposed to start of the doctor, you know, finding out that he fucked up his patient during surgery and murdered them. And that's why they're sent to this town that doesn't need a doctor. Everybody's healed. He even says that later. Like, I don't.
Why am I here?
Yeah,
the town is like Canisburg, something weird like that. It's like, that's not a real name.
No, Canisburg, what, New Hampshire or whatever.
Yeah.
And so anyway, they end up saying, like, so she ends up telling the son finally what happened, and that the father like murdered somebody by accident, you know, because he was drunk, and you know, guy runs out screaming, like freaking out, and I'm like, what, you know, like that's not a reaction. Like, he wouldn't have been like that upset about his dad, like, you know, like I don't think, you know, he would have probably been a little bit more sympathetic, you know, but whatever, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, like, what can we do to get through this? Oh, darling.
Exactly, but you know, whatever. So the father doesn't go, and my favorite line is that the woman looks over and was like, "Well, look what you did now," or something like that. And I'm like, "You fucking did it, you bitch!"
I know, like, I know. She's so obnoxious.
So the guy
and
goes
she
out.
Snores.
Yeah, and then he goes out to take the trash, and yeah, why is she sleeping on the couch? Like later, like whatever. But we'll get to that in a second, in a little bit. But so he goes out to take the trash, and that's where the obnoxious sponsor guy's like, "Well, aren't you going to go to an AA meeting?" And I'm like thinking, do sponsors really just come up to people out of like the, you know, behind the, you know, stuff like behind some trees and say, "Hey, are you going to, you know," that's where like the COVID, you know, cult kind of thing goes, is like, I don't think, I literally think sponsors wouldn't give a fuck, you know, they'd just be like, if you're going, you're going. If you don't, you don't. That would be
my. And that he even says, you know, if you're not going to go, then I'm not going to be your sponsor anymore. And I don't know. I don't know if that's how that works
even if that's not how it works, why didn't he just go, okay.
Yeah.
You know, right. Like this guy's already like intruding on my property. Like, you know,
from like, oh no. Yeah. Like good.
It's not like he needs the sponsor for like work, you know?
Right. So anyway, so I'll jump in at this point. So he's going to drag him off to the bar, which is really supposed to be a coffee shop, but he tells him it's a coffee shop and it's a bar. In the meantime, Junior Stewart is upstairs, and all of a sudden he hears a knock on the door, except it's not from the door, it's from the window, so the sound was incorrect. And then we darkly sort of see his shadowy figure go to the window, because it's one of those, we're shooting it in the daytime, but we're pretending it's night by coloring it really, really blue. And all of a sudden, this cute teenage girl just pops in and introduces herself. You know, hi, I'm, you know, your next door neighbor, Sandy, or not Sandy, Sarah. I'm just going to be really cute and hang out in your room for a while.
Yeah, like, aren't you going to let me in? And now at this point, she could have been a vampire, you know, with that kind of thing. Aren't you going to let me in? Oh, sure. Come on in. You know, like, but, you know.
She's okay. That part I buy. I mean, if I was 16-year-old and a cute girl appeared out of nowhere and asked, wanted to come in my room, I'd be like, hell yeah.
But he's very confused by this, like, you know, which he should be. You know, that's, I mean, I'm sorry, Angel, you were a teenage girl at one point. Did you go climb up, rock climb, by the way, she said she rock climbed up his wall and knocked on the window and stuff. Did you ever do that? Like to see boys, you know, usually you give them a call first or at least meet them outside or something. If they're your next door neighbor, you walk outside the next day. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be, you know, I would not be exerting any extra energy. I think that's on the dude. I think you should be the one expending extra energy.
Did you ever bite one in the chest and turn him into a werewolf?
I have not done that yet.
Yes.
Maybe in a few years.
Okay.
Keep that in mind.
Maybe we can make a movie out of it.
and then you can do the effects of the better effects for the bite.
Much better okay. Because in the course of this, yeah, so you know, he decides he's gonna definitely follow this chick. She wants to go off, she's bored,
they want to go downstairs, like, you know,
remember, because she wants to go make out in the cemetery, which, you know, that's a very teenage thing, very angsty,
so romantic.
So romantic. And he's like, oh, sure, but I can't climb the walls like you can. Can we just go out the door? And she's like, oh, okay, if you have to. And that's when they pass by mom and they have the sound in there where she's going.
Once again, why is she sleeping on the couch? Like, I mean, it's not like she doesn't have a bed. And right. Like, if she were drunk at that time, I could buy that.
If she passed off drunk, that would have been a funny, ironic thing.
Right. Like, well, I mean, and you think about it, like, you know, a lot of people have like that, those, like, you know, that father who's probably, you know, drunk, and the mother who's, you know, also drunk. And then she's putting blame to the father. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that happens. Yeah. So that would have been a funny thing, but didn't happen.
So no. They go off to the cemetery, they run around. And there's some really, really bad examples of sound there, because clearly it was added in later, and because you can tell when they're running around, that's not them talking at that time. Yeah. But they finally settle down and they do a little smoochy poochy. And then finally, all of a sudden she bites him and with some kind of crappy looking makeup. And it turns out she's some kind of werewolf. And then she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't really mean to do that. And he's like, yeah, whatever. I'm just going to go home now.
You brought the animal out of me or something right. like that. Like, I remember that line. You know, right. I was like, all right, you know, they're going to do this a lot. I knew it. Like, they're going to put a lot of like little werewolf puns in there, you know, and shit.
As you do. So he goes back home and then he has a bad sleep, a bad, bad sleep. And then he wakes up with the worst, worst, worst werewolf teeth you're going to see outside worst of a
werewolf transition.
Like, yeah. Ever.
Rick Baker would be like shaking his head. Like,
I mean, literally, they took plastic fangs, put it in the man, poor guy's mouth, and said, go grr.
But they're the worst ugly looking fangs I've ever seen. Like, they didn't even look like normal fangs or whatever. I don't know. They must be like Dollar Tree
fangs. Dollar store. You know? Yeah.
You know,
Party yeah. City, something like that.
Yeah. Like the worst.
I mean, you know, it's not like, I mean, I don't know who produced this movie. I'm willing to bet he did it himself, right. probably from the proceeds of his book. So I guess you make concessions where you can, but they were not convincing.
I feel like, honestly, if there was a budget to this movie, most of the budget would have been spent on these weird hairy costumes. Half of these look like chihuahuas. Some of these have like tiny little teeth. You know, like chihuahua, Chewbacca, like hybrid things. I have no idea what they were.
It's terrible.
Yeah, those are coming. So after that, the story kind of goes back to Dr. Dan and Dave. And that's when they end up meeting the two people who are looking for their father. It's the one big guy and then Russ. And it turns out, as we mentioned before, even though Russ is a male name, there's a female attached to it. And they sort of invite themselves over to Dr. Dan's table. Remember they were talking, this is one of my favorite parts of the movie. They were talking about, oh, have you seen my dad? And he's like, oh, I don't know about that. But then he notices the quote unquote tattoo on the back of the guy's neck that's not there. It's been added in post and it's just floating around.
Yeah, while the guy's moving his neck, the tattoo is moving with it. Moving with
it. I have never seen a fail like that before in my life. Never. Never.
I mean, it. Okay, once again, with makeup and Angel, like, it's not that hard to put a fake tattoo on somebody, right? Like, you know, obviously, it's not. They're not going to put a real tattoo on the person, but just a drawing on the person's neck. We never see it again. It's not even like it was something that needed to be that.
A steady hand and waterproof liquid eyeliner.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is that the scene was shot and then somewhere along the line, someone said, oops, there's some lines about a tattoo. We don't have a tattoo. What are we going to do? And someone said, we'll add it later.
Add it in post.
Rather than just, well, can we take 10 minutes and draw something back there so that there's something and then just do another take?
It's ridiculous. No. But anyway, the really crappy tattoos on that guy. And then they and what happens is the guy, the doctor, starts talking to them about the, you know, about him. And then they kind of it ends up talking about the father. And I guess he knew the father. And I'm like thinking, it's a huge fucking world out there. There is no way this guy knew that guy's, you know, that guy or whatever. Right. Like, that's just too coincidental. And then, I hate that shit.
And speaking of which, less than 5 seconds after he mentions knowing the father, here comes the creepy waiter guy with the exact same watch that those two were talking about. And they just talked about the inscription. And it's there. And it's like, what? Talk about convenient.
Yeah. Right.
It was ridiculous. So, yeah, it was like, oh, you know, and they mentioned the word. And it was so funny because they were saying the words or whatever in the inscription. And then like 5 seconds later, it drops and then it opens up to that word, you know, or whatever. And I'm like thinking, oh, wow, what? Like, yeah, just terrible. Like that's just bad writing and bad directing, you know?
Right.
All of the above.
All of it.
So now they've got to fight the werewolf guy. And it turns out now they know that there are werewolves in this town. And the brother gets killed. So now the girl, Russ, has to team up with the doctor and Dan in order to get things right. And Dan, as it turns out, knows a lot about what's going on because it turns out he's a werewolf too. And he's part of the exposition that goes along. And he takes them on various places. They go see a werewolf witch in the woods to try and get some, I don't remember why they went there, but
I just love that you said werewolf witch in the woods like it was like something normal.
And she was a weird character too. I mean,
she was very very like
sniffing people.
That was the most werewolf like thing that anybody else in the whole movie did. You know, like, I mean, that I didn't mind because I was like, okay, she's actually getting to the part of being a werewolf, you know, like, I get it, you know, but like all the rest of the characters, they kind of like play werewolf really shitty, you know, in my opinion, you know.
But it turns out, I mean, after that, the story really gets very confuddled and confused, and there's a big fight, and I'm not really sure who's on what side or exactly what happens. There's a lot of terrible werewolf costumes and a lot of really weird special effects. And it, all that, I'm kind of distracted by that because the plot at this point made no difference. But eventually, I guess it turns out okay. And I guess they figured out that the townspeople are all werewolves and there's silver in the water and that's what's keeping them from changing. But there are certain ones who don't want to do that so that they can become werewolves and become beasts and just kill people whenever they want. And blah, 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 blah. But it doesn't really matter because trust me, at this point, all you're interested in is watching the crappy CGI effects and the crappy special effects and the crappy costumes.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't want to watch that. It just sort of like, that just kept happening, you know?
It just kept happening.
It's just and, like one shitty
that
CGI.
That is a big, big problem because, like I said, the man wrote two books about this story, about these people, about all of this stuff. We're supposed to be interested in that. And instead, we're not, because it doesn't matter. We're more interested in the fail that's happening everywhere else that we see. And you can't help it, you know? Yeah. Because the one is boring and the other is so ridiculous.
I agree. Like, it's like, after a while, I was like, why did you make me watch this movie? You know, like, why? But maybe just to review it so we could say, but okay, God, this movie's terrible. Like, it's just, there's at points, we talked a little bit about it, but like the points where he would just be in a daze and he'd be dreaming, or he thinks he's dreaming, or
it was hard to tell like what was real kind of and like what wasn't,
which normally is okay. Like, if you're in a good director's hands, you know, when it goes from one to the other, you know, and you can't tell, like, that's like fucking Inception, you know, you can't tell what's real, what's not real. Like, but Christopher Nolan is a great director. It can make all of that actually work.
And editing, there's a great editor in that. And that's where editing is key, but.
Oh God.
Editing.
Did the director edit the movie too? I wonder, like, he had to have, you know, I'm going to look that up. There was no way.
I couldn't tell you, but it wasn't a very good job. I can tell you that much. So, Angel, please talk to us a little bit about the special effects and the makeup and the costumes.
I mean, that's really all that there was costumes. I mean, makeup, it was really just, like you said, you know, like there were fake teeth, plastic teeth. They didn't take the time to make teeth, mold to the character. Like it was, I don't know, like it's like they went to Party City during Halloween.
Well, let me ask you this, because I mean, you are makeups and special effects person. How difficult or inexpensive is it to make somewhat believable teeth that mold to someone's mouth?
I mean, honestly, you can get you can get like beads. Even if you don't do the whole like snout prosthetic stuff, like you can go on Amazon and get these beads that you can melt and mold to your teeth that can, you know, be like werewolf teeth. You can make your teeth sharp. Like they're super easy, believable alternatives that aren't cheesy. Mm-hmm. Like cosplayers use them all the time, you know.
But we
even
also
as far back as 2005.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like cosplay. I feel like some sort of something like that existed back then. I just feel like now it's more advanced, but I mean, dental technology, I feel like has been advancing pretty rapidly, you know,
mm-hmm.
in the past.
I think a lot of the budget went to that costume right there that I'm pointing at, the bluish one with the very pronounced abs that never move. It was clearly a suit.
Right.
It's like I feel like the whole budget went to that. Cause that's a pretty big burly costume, you know, like
and it's one. There was only one of them.
Oh God. Oh God, the smell. Oh.
Cause if you remember, though, in the bar scene, there were quote unquote werewolves, but they were just some people with some shit glued to their face and regular clothes for the most part. And then, when his son, same thing with his son, when his son becomes a werewolf, he's just got some shit glued to his face and some teeth.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have
attacking that. Attacking the mom in like the shower and stuff. Like, you know, you could definitely tell like they did the best they could.
Also, if you remember, the brother came back, right? Like, and he didn't look like that, you know, like that was the only one. There was only one. So you're right. Like all the money went into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause all the other ones they did, like some of them had like weird slicked back, you know, like hair and like tiny little chihuahua teeth. And like some didn't have, you know, like, it was always replaced.
Narratively, this is problematic because if you can only afford one suit that looks even somewhat realistic, you really need to tailor your narrative so that you're talking about one werewolf.
Yeah, and
but
not
the story
multiple.
Is about a whole colony of werewolves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of expect all of them, or at least most of them, to have that level.
It could be, you know, maybe the smaller or the younger werewolves look so different because they're younger. You know, maybe this werewolf looks different because he's so mature. You know, like, I don't know.
Or he's the alpha of the group. The
leader,
or maybe,
yeah, the alpha.
Maybe
yeah.
He's the thermogenesis thing that I was talking about. Maybe. But none of that was made clear.
Nope.
And then the waiter guy, when he became werewolf, he didn't look like that. You know?
Yeah. He looked really shitty. Like he was like one of the worst. It was just I don't know, man.
So the costumes, the teeth. What about the special effects and the blood?
The blood. They used a lot of like visual effects. Like I said, it was like that weird red dissipating. Like, why did they use that? Like, I don't know what the. It's so easy to make fake blood.
We made fake blood on our sets, like
yeah,
what the fuck,
absolutely.
Like, you know, like it's just it's
pretty much
just
the snap of a finger too. I mean, we didn't even plan it. We're just like, oh, we best let's whip up some blood, and we did it, and it looked good.
Well, it's like they just didn't want to get their clothes dirty. Okay, come on.
Yeah, they had a specific vision that they thought, I guess, you know, looked good the way that they did it. Like I don't know.
I just had a thought. Maybe the werewolf costume, the big one, maybe that was a rental and they couldn't get blood on it. I mean, that happens too.
Yeah.
That could have been a thought. I don't know. Only the director and the people, the crew know, you know, why.
Yeah.
It was just terrible.
And like, there was there was a lot of bad CGI stuff going on there too.
It was a 90s music video, all the weird flashes and, you know, like the slow-mo, like the running through the woods. It was so like, I felt like the music, you know, the music that was on with it was.
And like, I didn't understand why so much of the action took place clearly in front of a green screen projecting the woods when you could just put people in the woods. I don't understand. Why would you do that? Why would you make your movie look so bad? Just put them in the woods and there would be scenes with them in the woods. So you had access. Why did you do this green screen? Yeah. This terrible, terrible green screen. I don't understand.
We talked crazy about that too, because we thought that maybe they got kicked out of the woods, so they had to like recreate it, you know, because like, get out of our woods, you know, I mean, we don't want you filming any in back here and making us look bad, you know.
But there are so many woods in existence.
It's true. Right. You know? Right. And they all look very similar
in the woods, you know, I mean. That, and when you have that problem, I mean, verisimilitude is out the window. It doesn't look realistic. It just, it looked cartoonish. And, you know, I get it. This is your first film and you don't really know that, but somewhere along the lines, you have to instinctively know that it's going to look better to put the actors actually in the woods than it is a green screen. Green screen's not going to solve your movie problems. And because it's cheap. Usually you use green screens because you can't afford to go to a place and shoot. Woods is free, man, for the most part. Unless New Hampshire is very different.
Yep.
I don't understand.
I will, real quick, I will explain a couple things to you that you don't know yourself. Okay. You know,
I'm curious.
So the producer, executive producer, Rob Roy.
There you go.
Composer for the music, Rob Roy.
There you go.
The cinematographer, Rob Roy.
Nice.
Editor, Rob Roy. Mm-hmm. Yes. So he pretty much was a one-man team. He wrote it, he directed, and he did all that other, everything else, visual.
But at least he didn't star in it, because then you could say this is one of those crazy vanity pieces.
Oh my God, this is so a vanity times project. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it's not quite at the same level, you know.
Yeah. Well, he's not Tommy Wiseau. He's not himself in that kind of thing, but he's still terrible, you know. Like,
I think this was probably largely done because he couldn't afford to get anybody else to do it, rather than, you know, oh, I'm a big star and I can do everything myself. I imagine he was just doing everything that he could because there was nobody else, you know.
Yeah, everybody else was like, this project, no.
And that's why movies like this, I'm dying to have released on Blu-ray, so that we can have commentary, so I can find out what's going on.
There is a disc out there with commentary. I just don't know where we can find it. It must be out of print or something, you know, and with commentary. So I would love to hear him explain these things, but I don't think he explained like why, you know, any of this happened. He explains like how he did it, but you know, like he doesn't explain.
Yeah, I imagine most of the why is lack of money, I'm sure.
Well, I'm saying like why, as in like why was like all of a sudden all this Native American shit in it that did not need to be in the movie? Because like
the caves, all that weird stuff.
Caves and all that.
And the weird went all red. Like, you know, like it just went all red for like the longest.
And then she walked into the red and then she walked out of the red. And I'm
her body was like halfway in and out of,
somewhere along the line, there was some Native American Wendigo stuff that was conflated into this story, I think, as a way of explaining where the werewolves came from, but it just made things more confusing,
mm-hmm.
you know? But, you know, even lack of money does not explain the green screen thing. That's spending more money that you didn't need to spend.
Once again, woods.
Right.
Like, why?
Like, I mean, we've all been in very, very cheap, low-budget, micro-budget productions. What's the cheapest place to set a production? In the woods, because it's free.
Next time, Angel, we have you come out, we're going to do a green screen and we're going to put you in the woods.
I've been dying to make an entire movie in a green screen just because it would look so ridiculous. And that's the problem, is it looks ridiculous.
I know. This whole movie, I almost feel like this whole movie could have been a green screen. I don't know. You know, like everything was just so fake, you know, people falling from freaking the one area, one part of the bar to the other, the bottom, with no explanation of why this just happened. You know, like it just happens. I'm just like, it's just the movie, I guess. I don't know.
One of the little oopsies that pops in there. And the thing is, you know, I'm sure Riff Tracks and Red Letter Media have said all kinds of wonderful things about this, but I have not watched it yet. I've kept myself away from them because I didn't want any of their observations to influence what I was going to say about this particular movie. So after we're done this, I'm going to go back and watch at least the Riff Tracks and probably the Red Letter Media versions, because I'm dying to hear what some of these folks have to say.
I don't think we even got into like some of our favorite lines in the movie. There's some ridiculous lines in that movie. I don't know. What did the guy say? What did the dude say in the movie? He like,
there was one scene where the doctor got home and the son was like sick and the wife, you know, was talking to the husband, and the husband just sat down and was like, I forgot what line he said, but he was just, it was like, he was just exasperated. He was like, oh, here we go again or something. I don't know. But it was just like, cause he had left and gotten away from all the craziness and then came home and there was still craziness.
I was trying to think of the waiter. The waiter said something weird and like ran off, you know, or whatever. When he got caught as like the werewolf, he was like, he said something, just runs off. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on in this movie? Like this movie, I don't think, even though he wrote it, I don't think he even understood what, you know, was going on when he wrote it.
There's some weird, like just camera scenes too. Like I remember, like there was a scene where it really just focused in on the werewolf witch's face for like a good like 4 or 5 seconds, just zoomed in on her like weirdly smiling. And I'm like, why are we focusing on her face for so long? Like,
yeah. But I mean, the lack of reduction is really what sinks this film. I mean, lots of day for night shooting, lots of ADR and sounds and voices added in later because they couldn't afford the sound equipment, I guess, or microphones. And then just, you know, poorly done. You can see sometimes lips move and there's nothing being said. Editing, you know, mistakes where people just kind of pop in. There's one scene where they're supposed to be walking to the quote unquote coffee shop, and they just kind of appear out of an alley, like they just finished running, like something had chased them, but they don't say anything about it. They're just like, oh, okay, yeah, that's better. And we're like, well, what? Did something happen? Did they get chased? Was there a werewolf? What happened? Just never said anything about it. We're like, okay. Very weird.
I love the IMDb user reviews. I'm not going to read like them really that much, but like the title is so bad, it's good, kind of. You know, that's a great one. My other favorite one was, it said, for the record, I have never been so confused so many times during a movie.
Why did I
watch this was another one.
That's ultimately too the biggest problem of the film, is that the narrative gets so confused and confuddled. Part of that is because of what you're seeing on screen, but I think part of it too is just the basic story itself, with all of this extra weirdness coming in from the Wendigo stuff and the silver in the water and some of the other things. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's easy to do a basic werewolf thing, okay, and then just run with it. You don't need to add all this other stuff. It just weighs the narrative down, and then you get confused as an audience, you know? So Bone Hill Road was a very simple story, you know, with a little bit of extra thrown in, but still an effective story, because you pare that down to the minimum and you're letting the character or the creature take over. That's your main point.
Uh-huh.
They're not doing that in this. There's all this other extra stuff going on, and it's problematic.
No, I 100% agree. The less the better, I always say, you know, because If you don't want to confuse people, and this movie confused me from the get-go, like the first second of the movie, it confused the hell out of me. So, you know.
Yeah, and you have to think that Rob Roy was ambitious. He has a story that he wanted to tell. He's clearly written two books about it. So I'm sure it was his dream to make this into a movie. Couldn't get the financing with somebody else, so decided to take upon himself to make this into a reality and did what he could. And this is what we've got, because he doesn't have those kinds of skills and he couldn't get enough help. So, right. I mean, in a way, I kind of feel bad, you know, I mean.
I don't, because you don't have to release a movie as yourself. So if you release it and it's this terrible, then I don't feel bad at all, man. Like, you did it yourself, dude. I'm sorry. You know, it's just like the people who put stuff on YouTube, you know, and then people are like, don't make fun of it. I'm like, you put it on YouTube. Like, what do you expect? Like, right. I mean, if you are proud of the movie because you think it's good, you know, that's one thing. If you're, I hope he's not proud of this, but he might be, and he might think this is good. It is not. It is not, in my opinion.
And the thing is that, you know, if it's a lot more, if you've bitten off a lot more than you can chew, then just kind of break it into smaller chunks. Do a little here, a little there, get the financing here, break it down so that you can do the scenes in certain ways. You know what I mean? There are ways that you can manage that, where it, instead of doing it all at once, you can do it over the course of, say, a year, year and a half, and have a much better result at the end.
So you're saying this werewolf movie bit more than it could chew?
I think so. Okay. Definitely.
Well, on that note.
Have we finally reached the point where we need to actually talk about rating this movie?
We have. We've reached that point.
So, the Stinkometer. This is the part where we start to score our film based on a 1 to 10 score, by which the lower score means that it's actually a pretty good movie, and the highest score, 10, means that it's a pretty crappy, stinky, horrible movie, because you got to think, the more stink, the higher the number. Mm-hmm. And if you feel kind of settled, you can give a half point score if you want. And then at the end, we total up our score, and then we compare it to other movies that we've seen in the season, and we're going to find out what's the stinkiest movie of the season, season 5. And we've already had some stinkers in this season. So I'm curious to see what you guys have to say about this film.
So I'm going to go off from the very beginning. I'm going to say, so I looked up and saw that, what was the Dark Wolf? Was our last werewolf movie, I think, right? Like, that was the last one.
I think so.
So that I gave a 9 to, and I stand by that. It's definitely a 9. This is an ultimate 10, like 10 all around for me. I 10 can't
plus, huh?
10 plus. Yeah. If I could give it a higher rating, I would. Well, actually,
I think Miss Werewolf was the last werewolf movie.
Oh, and that was also a 10. So there you go. That kind of makes sense.
So how does this compare to Miss Werewolf then?
Well, Miss Werewolf would probably still win. But that's only because it was like almost 3 hours long and was ridiculous. You know? And,
oh, Angel, wait till you see Miss Werewolf. I can't wait to show you.
Oh, no.
that one was worse than this, but still, this is a 10. You know, because when we do the stinkometer, it's hard to like say that, because like if everything, you know, if they're 10 is something more than than another one, you know. And yes, you know, Miss Werewolf is still worse than this, but it's still, both of them are still 10.
And you know what, it's funny, Miss Werewolf is a million times worse than this film, but it's also a lot more fun. So there you go.
No way. Yeah.
In a way. Okay. It maybe not for all 3 hours of it.
I know. But if you just skip around, maybe, you know, or whatever. But like, if how inept that movie sort of is, but this is more inept. Like, at least David the Rock Nelson knows not to put green screens on for woods. He just goes out and shoots in his woods,
right, or his backyard.
Backyard. But,
yeah, this is getting a 10 for me too. It's just, there's just no way you could do this without giving it a 10. Now, I have said this in the past. You and I have both given movies that we thought were clearly tens, and then we have another person who says, well, I can see the good points in this, and gives it a lower score, and we're both like, oh my goodness, really? So I'm very curious, Angel, to what you have to say.
10.
Yes. Another 30.
Wow. No pushing around with that.
Well, this is the second 30 we've gotten, both by you. Thank you. The first one being Turkish Star Wars. And of course, this next, you know, so.
Angel, so compare, just really quickly, compare this movie to the other two movies, you know, From Hell It Came and Creeping Terror. I mean, clearly this one was worse.
Yeah. Like by a landslide. This was not entertaining to me at all. I felt like I was in a bad trippy music video, and it just, I was not here for it.
You said your attention went everywhere yeah. else because you were bored by it.
So you were fighting against the movie.
Yeah, like I could not, like it was not grabbing my attention, like in any way, shape, or form. Like it was just.
And this movie's on Tubi. People can see it on Tubi. And I'm I wish Tubi would do the one thing that I guess they're not doing, or they're not going to do, but like I wanted them to do like user reviews and people can rate and review the movies, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever. I think I bet they're afraid to do that than the movies that they put up there. Yeah, so people might not want to see, you know, but I think Amazon does it. Does Netflix? I don't think Netflix does it. But Amazon does it because Amazon has the rating and review sections, you know.
So there you go. The man's got it on Tubi. That means he's getting paid, right?
Hopefully, you know. Yeah. Hopefully he didn't give it to a distributor that doesn't give him any money. But I think he probably – no, he doesn't. It was a company that had it. I forgot what the company – but the company is to put out other stuff, you know. Like I've seen
that. Wild Eye releasing.
It's not Wild Eye. It's not Wild Eye. And Wild Eye probably would have put this out. You know, this would have been one of their things, but no, it was another company. I forgot what it was, but it was something I've seen their stuff before. You know, I've seen crap from them before, so this just feels right. You know, that it's in there, but it was terrible. Like the whole movie itself.
And awful. There's just something really special about a crappy werewolf movie. You know, I don't know. It's I guess it's because of the suit, because you never know what you're going to get. Some kind of weird, crappy suit. You know, werewolves and Yeti movies, they both seem to really bring out the worst in some filmmakers. I'm not sure why that is.
We watched one for the 31 Days of Indie Horror. That was student film, was done. It was literally a student film, right, that the guy put out and everything. And it was, even though there was a guy in a werewolf mask and jeans and, you know, whatever, it was still fun and it was enjoyable. And the characters were, you know, interesting and, you know, funny and shit like that. And me, Ramaku, and Stro were just laughing our ass off at it, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like we enjoyed the movie. And so even with a shitty werewolf costume or something, you can make a good movie. Just make a fun, interesting story that goes along with it.
That's not confusing. And
yeah.
Anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say this, though. I tend not to like suits like this thing because they don't move like real people or creatures or anything does. So if you're going to do that, my feeling is you either get a stunt person and just glue the shit directly to their body, or you have something like one of those Lycra suits that like are completely form-fitting and you make it out of that. Because if not, if it's just something that's clearly pants and clearly a top with mm-hmm. sleeves, it's not going to look good at mm-hmm. all. It's just not.
Nope.
You know what I mean? I don't know how many times I've seen where you can tell where the bottom of the mask ends, or the headpiece and the top of the shoulders begins. You can see a little bit of neck in there. You know what I mean?
And the mouth never moves, you know, because it's still right there. And like I said, that's fine. Like I will forgive those things myself if the story and the characters are the other characters are interesting enough. If it's not, I will hate it, you know, because I'm like, okay, if you're not going to have an interesting story, at least have an interesting costume. This movie didn't have any of that, like none, you know. In fact, the only character I liked in the movie, really, the only two characters were the two girls, one of which never seen again. So if she came back and had more stuff to do with it, that would have been interesting. You know, yeah. I would have liked it better, but, you know.
But Angel, do you think you could do a realistic werewolf costume if you had the chance?
If I had the time, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a perfectionist, and you know, I've thought about how I would make one, you know, if I had to make one. And I mean, I would agree with, you know, a lycra suit, you know, something super form fitting. And I mean, that'd be hella hair punching, you know, that would take a long time, but it would look more realistic than what we watched.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, the three movies that you've already seen, you've got the werewolf, you've got the creeping carpet monster, and you've got the wandering tree.
which
of the three monsters was the worst so far for you?
Ooh. Mm. I'm still at that. Our first monsters. Yeah. Still the werewolves.
The werewolf. Yeah.
It's close between the carpet monster and the werewolf.
Well, yeah, you thought the tree was more better.
Yeah, I don't know. The tree was more realistic than
that's than scary.
I want the tree now. Like, I want to do a killer tree movie.
Tabanga. Tabanga for the win.
Tabanga.
Yes, exactly. Tabanga so wins. Oh, Lord. But I'm so glad, Angel, that you were such a good sport about this.
Yay,
and watched it. You could have been like, guys, I'm sorry, I couldn't do it.
No, this is fun. I love doing this.
Definitely shows you, because you said yourself you want to watch more stinky movies and stuff.
Yeah.
And get more educated on that. And I think it's really good for somebody to watch these movies to see how bad they are, to see what you would do differently.
Right, you know. Right. They're educational in a way.
Yeah. Yep. So hopefully
that's kind of what happens when I watch movies now. You know, I used to watch them like because they were like entertaining, but now I watch them to like learn things. You know, I'm like, oh, like I can like picture how, you know, like the camera is being moved and, you know, like just, yeah, like it's cool. I love it. It's like a science now to me.
That's good. That's really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we're very pleased that you were able to come on the show for us. Thank you very much.
And, absolutely.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have you back again this season.
Oh, yes, I'm ready.
She wants to do more stinky movies, Paul.
All right. Well, you know I have a ton of them, so I think it's your turn next to show Angel something interesting.
Ooh, okay, I gotta find her something pretty. I don't know, man. It's gonna be hard to top this one because you know I don't know if I'd have to find her a good movie now.
How many times have you said that though? I mean, come on.
I know. I'm just saying I might have to find a good movie now for her so that she doesn't. I don't want to keep scaring her away. You know,
I'm still here at some point.
We are hoping to get her up here so we could have her do Forgotten Horror Classics, and those are going to be good movies. So there are good movies awaiting you. It's just, you know, we have to work out some time, and we'll figure it out. It'll be done.
Yeah.
It'll be
fun. Yeah.
It will definitely be done this year, too, I'm sure, because we've got plenty of time, like, throughout the rest of the year. But once again, thank you, Angel. You were an angel, you know, for coming out and doing this for us. So we really appreciate that. Yeah.
It's no problem.
All right, guys. Well, thanks everybody very much for tuning in. Please join us next month. Or actually, is this the last one for this month, or do we have more? I don't remember. You're the scheduler guy.
I'm gonna have to look that up.
It doesn't matter. There's more episodes that come in. Season 5 is the one where we've got more episodes, 3 per month this year. And you know, we'll have lots more waiting for you guys. So please come and join us. And we will see you next time. And we'll see you, right? Everybody?
Yep. Everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
The chicken says we're ready.